You know, it says on the front of my book, Gloria, but this story is Jesus' victory. Hey. Okay. And I just celebrated being 72 last week. And I'm still standing. Praise God. Okay, now we're sitting. And I share that with you to say this is a story of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with food addiction, anger, and sexual perversion. I'm a survivor of childhood sexual, emotional, and physical abuse and bulimia. My name is Gloria.
Gloria.
Hi. I'm becoming more of a grateful believer every day as I see how Jesus has had his hand over my life. Who I am today is a combination of how he made me, the scars of my choices, and how I survive with God's very hand of protection over me. My life verse is Psalms 139. You made me and all my delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the darkness. You saw me before I was born. I don't think we should follow this after worship. Just a minute. I'll be right back. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. As I tell you my story, you will understand why this scripture is so important and a gift to my healing and my sanity. My mom was 17 from a very dysfunctional alcoholic family when she became pregnant with me. She married the first man, much older than she was, who was not my blood father. My sister was born when I was 18 months old, and she was very, very sick. My young mother, who spent all of her time trying to keep my sister alive. I became very lonely and tried to not cause any problems. My mother was my primary abuser, but both my parents were from that old school, some of you remember it, children are to obey, no matter how severe the punishment. A good parent makes them obey. It had to be that way. Now I know through Celebrate Recovery and doing the 12th step many times, it was the only way that they had been taught parenting themselves. They were from really dysfunctional families, and their core belief was to be in power. That was good parenting. I had a core belief that I was a mistake all my life. My baby book says she should have been a boy. Boys were great on the farm. And so all I can remember is following my dad everywhere. I work like a man for approval, and I would be their son. But I never quite was good enough. I had to earn worth and acceptance. And I could buck 80-pound bales of hay all day long. Never quite good enough. I was very passive at home and in school, except frequent angry emotional outbursts. I was extremely competitive in sports, which often would explode into fistfights at school. And then I'd get home, and my anger was met with beatings and shame. I was a compulsive liar from a very, very young age. Most of the time, I was a loner, not wanting to draw any angry attention or make any waves. I guess we know that now is called isolation. As a little girl, I had a normal, round little body, not obese, as I thought and as I was told. But my clothes were ordered from a Sears catalog. They used to have those. Now you do it online. specifically for fat girls, I was told. I was and still am ashamed of my physical body and have a distorted body image that I have not been able to overcome. Whether I weigh 285 or 120, when I look in the mirror, I still have little perception of how I look. I was 12 when my family moved to Alaska, and I became even more withdrawn and depressed. My very good grades became D's and F's. By this time, I was mentally ill with severe depression. I had become obese and started binging and purging. As kids will do, they picked on the weaker kid. That was me, except for those outbursts of fights. The only thing I could control was food, and so I was sneaking and stuffing my face and then purging, and a habit I continued way into my 30s and into recovery and counseling before God touched my life. But I still deal with a daily abnormal relationship with food. I call sobriety from bulimia my sobriety. And my struggles are daily walks with my food relationship. It can be my drug of choice to hide and pacify my feelings instead of working a 12-step or pulling a tool off my tool belt. When I look for a bucket of ice cream or a dozen donuts or even a carrot mayonnaise sandwich, I know I need to find my recovery tools, seek Jesus, and my sponsor quickly. The only accepted place to relieve any of this pain was in sports. I became very aggressive, which most families in sports know as competitive, and very good. It was the only area of my life that I was accepted and praised. Although I now can see I was just seeking superior performance that equaled love. It was my search for affirmation. At 15, I was told that my dad, who I adored, was not my blood dad. End of discussion. No conversation. Now go to school. That was in that morning. I was given no information and told to never talk about it again. This excruciating news destroyed any emotion I had left. I completely shut down. The familiar cycle of explosions and anger by me were met at home with severe discipline and beatings. The insanity continued. Now it was a shameful family secret. I internalized very unhealthy self-talk. It even became more valid. No wonder I was beaten and stripped of my clothes, held down and laughed at. I was a misfit, unwanted accident. I accepted this as truth for over 40 years of my life. I remember deep shame, shame that made me nauseated at the thought that I even was created. I was a mistake. The circumstances that brought me into the world were never discussed, so my mind would go imagine the creating in the darkness, an accident. I imagined every circumstance that made me a mistake. I had no one. From the time on, every argument in our house, every problem, every tear shed from anybody, any crisis, was somehow my fault. None of this would have happened if my mom hadn't got pregnant with me and had to get married to somebody. I was a reason for all the chaos in my family. I had my first mental breakdown at school at 16 from internalizing the torment of abuse and the knowledge that I was a mistake. A living gift to me was an accelerated English teacher who would rescue me from teasing and shame. Everybody else hated her. For some reason, she took a liking to me. She called me Dixie. And she'd bring me into her classroom, and somehow I accredited her encouragement that I graduated high school. So if you're a teacher and you're rescuing a lonely little girl, remember she's 72 and will still remember you. Soon I married the first man who would stand still. He's much older than me and extremely dysfunctional. Now I can see he was probably alcoholic too. But all I wanted was a family and a baby. Pretty little Anne came into the world. I passed on the only parenting skills I knew, abuse. And this little one became a victim of family abuse passed down to the generations at my hands. Controlling, abusive parenting. I started having numerous affairs and soon was divorced. This insanity continued of abusing my daughters and affairs, and I was in a 2-year relationship with a married man. But it only fed into the shame, the self-loathing, the binging, purging, hiding, running. I met another very passive man and married for the second time. My husband's family was very dysfunctional with a family secret of incest. We all attended this very legalistic church that told us our only hope was to give our despicable souls to Jesus. That fed into my belief system of being a mistake, and the insanity continued as I tried to play church, led Sunday school classes, had 2 more children, kept the family secret, and started having affairs again. I believe this is where Jesus stepped in to stop the insanity. Somewhere he answered my pitiful prayer for help me. I experienced my second nervous breakdown and was blind for 4 days. A pastor who had been counseling us referred me to a Christian counselor. He became a safe place. He was an ex-Marine, a pastor, a counselor, had studied Freudian, he had studied dream. There wasn't anything that I could say, any cuss word that I would say, that would surprise him, and we were off. But he cared about me and was available to me. He showed me Jesus. He was God's gift that brought me much of my healing. I'd like to say that I was healed, my second marriage saved, and we would live happily ever after. But as many of you know, and as I now know, 2 very unhealthy people got married. They were attracted by the deficiencies in each other. And when one person moves out of that unhealthy, dysfunctional cycle and starts to stand up and doesn't continue to be the codependent spouse, the other spouse must seek healing or the relationship will dissolve. And that's what happened in our marriage. I'm sorry to say, we lost our marriage. I cherish the relationship that he and I have today. Learning forgiveness and accepting my part, cleaning off my side of the road, making amends, has given us both the freedom to be the parents to our children and our grandchildren, and our first great-grandbaby girl. I grieve that our family ended because we were all so broken. Divorced with 3 kids, I came to New Hope Community Church to a single parents' conference. I argued with God how he could still be hanging around, why he would still be faithful to me. Since I had asked Jesus into my life, he had never moved. I was the one making bad choices. I was the one making broken choices. I was the one turning away from him and the unconditional love he continued to offer over and over and over again. You knew me before I was conceived, and you know my every step. This scripture started becoming real. He had planned me. He knew my life. He saw the abuse. He knows my scars and why I'm so screwed up. As I grew closer to Jesus, him knowing my every step and me knowing he knew my every step, and I was accountable for my steps and my choices I made, but God understood that I wouldn't always make good ones. I couldn't blame my irrational choices on my past abuse or unhealthy men. It was becoming clear I had to acknowledge and confess my own deficiencies. I lived the next 5 years as a single mom and grew to claim Jesus. I found contentment having a church that loved me and my kids. I found many new ways to parent. My children became my focus. I had always loved them dearly, but I had few skills to affirm and encourage them. The only thing I knew how to do was be codependent with them. I think I am a great parent and a normal grandparent and a really abnormal great-grandparent because she took my heart somewhere and hasn't given it back. The family history of abuse has been broken. Amen. My emotional recovery started in counseling, but when I started truly seeking God's guidance, my whole life started to change, and I attended recovery classes and healing seminars at New Hope. At that time, the pastor who had created healing seminars called them total healing seminars. She had the idea of CR, except that we don't ever totally heal until we see Jesus. I met my third husband, Roger, at church. We've been married 34 years and no affairs. I would like to say all's well, but he loves me for me. Hard for me to take in sometimes. He married a really thin, sexy, altogether person who had just finished another diet center and who was really changed in looks, and sometimes the road really gets crazy. My body image is so distorted that what my mind sees is obese, no matter what weight. Some of my old habits of anger and being defensive come back, primarily when I become insecure and fearful. Our brokenness shows up the most when we are fearful. Obesity, sexual perversion, and self-loathing are all results of my childhood mental, physical, and sexual abuse. All of my marriages and parenting have been impacted by my abuse. In the past 10 years of attending, well, now it's 12 years. That's a typo. I'll have to fix. Of attending CR, Roger and I have really learned different ways of communication and accepting each other. Both of us are runners when we got married. We see victory in going toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose. In discussions, I said, I think. They may get loud, but they are healthy and they are true feelings. We both have completed step study classes. We've found so much teaching and sharing that has changed our relationships and how God sees our covenant and how we see our covenant of marriage. As Roger and I continue to seek recovery, we are challenged to honesty and commitment to understand the effects of our abuse on our marriage, our brokenness, and how it affects our family and our heritage to our kids. God is faithful every day of our lives to guide us toward intimacy that both of us in our wounded hearts search out for. My parents have both died and gone to heaven. I know that because I witnessed both of them accepting Christ, my dad the night before he died, and my mom about 6 months before she died. Yeah. Yeah. I especially cherish the last days of their lives, memories of sweet, loving parents, and they're like kids should have been. The form of parenting was control at any price. Although through recovery, I have come to understand they did the very best they knew how. And that's how Jesus sees forgiveness. They were severely wounded, and Jesus knew that, and now I do too. God has taught me to see them as he saw them, severely broken too. I still carry out a lot of guilt and shame because of how I treated especially my oldest daughter. The losses they have accumulated because of my choices. All three of my kids have struggled with substance abuse. I've come to understand through Celebrate Recovery that I don't have to live in shame about my kids. Their use of drugs or alcohol is because of my choices and dysfunction, their genetics, their own pain, their personal choices, and life. It can drive me crazy if I forget to lay them at the feet of Jesus and claim his hand over their lives. He will bring them to himself. That's his business. My business is to love, accept, and pray for them. I'm proud to say I learned that in CR. And Jesus has told me all of them are going to have great testimonies. Today, I still seek recovery from compulsive eating. Food is my drug of choice. I eat happy, mad, celebrating, consoling myself, bored, most of it in secret. I see it still sneak into my own refrigerator. I am preoccupied with my body image and ashamed most of the time of how I look. I've lost 50 pounds, I've gained it back, I've lost it again. And each time I now know that if I don't grab a hold of the tools of recovery, I will continue this kind of dysfunction. Isolation is a huge part of my addiction and recovery. I now know busyness can keep me isolated. And as a codependent, I pretty much volunteer for everything. And it keeps me distracted. It keeps me from stopping, assessing the feeling and pray for insight before I commit to something. Because of CR, I can see the best action I can do is to stop and understand the chaos that's so healthy that I'm in habit of living with and thinking it's a normal way of life. Recently in our CR group, someone was sharing about sexual perversion, and God has laid on my heart a whole new area that I had never acknowledged, sexual perversion. How my whole identity has been perverted because of my childhood sexual abuse. I feel the familiar childhood nausea coming over me. So here we go, Lord, you and me in a room full of CR ladies. We're going to do it. I have come to understand each day is an opportunity toward recovery, new recovery. I make the choice to seek peace and serenity through the steps and directions of Celebrate Recovery and accept God's guidance. I have the tools to stop the insanity if I will just take them off the belt. Acknowledge I don't have the strength to do this on my own. Seek Jesus, call my sponsor, and let sobriety start again. Part of Celebrate Recovery format is to encourage everyone to find a way that they can serve and volunteer. What a concept, except for flaming codependents. They'll serve anywhere, volunteer anywhere, until they start recovery. And then they start questioning whether they're supposed to be doing everything. Was it unhealthy for them? I don't have to be fixed or be in charge of everything to still be valuable and at service for the Lord. It's amazing. Yay! It really is amazing to look back 72 years ago and know God had a vision for my recovery. He knew this day. He planned my birth. His grace has allowed my healing. By the way, I learned what grace is through recovery. He has always been with me. He sees me today. Most of the time, I can remember that. I strive to live somewhat happy and peaceful in this life. I pray for His direction for my life, and along the way that He would use my past and the history and my history to encourage others toward His story of victory. In May 2011, Roger and I were asked to be ministry leaders of Celebrate Recovery at Foothills in Malala. He's using our past lives and recovery to serve those who risk walking in the door every Friday night. One more page. We are totally amazed, absolutely frightened most of the time, exhausted most of the time, make mistakes all the time, ask for forgiveness both with Jesus and with the people that are attending, and hold on to Jesus as tight as we can. Today, I can take it in. I believe I was not a mistake. I believe He uses my life to matter for His kingdom. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I was planned. I am a child of His. He has always envisioned me being in Celebrate Recovery. Today, I praise His working in my life. He knew me. He waited for my progress. He guided my path one step at a time. He chose to simply seek Him and be confident that He will continue to guide my life as any good dad would do. He believed in me. Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you God's story.